Good day, listeners. We present to you our podcast, Wounded Hearts, Wounded Churches. We discuss a variety of topics that are important to the church. Examples include sexual abuse, all types of addictions, religious abuse, and recovery. This platform provides counseling sessions, meaningful question and answer, and a counseling continuum. Our co-hosts include Ms. Lolita, Personnel Director, Mrs. Tennille, our Technical Director. We have an impressive array of program contributors. And I'm your host. My name is Prince, founder of Antioch Youth Center, 501(c)(3) program, licensed counselor, now retired. So join in this exciting podcast, Wounded Hearts, Wounded Churches, and be a part of the healing process. Well, tonight, we have a special guest, Elder Samuel Cabot. He's a grandson, Church of God minister from Detroit. His grandfather was there. Extensive background in business. That's his background. Preaching for years now. Ordained, licensed in Church of God. And a new church there he's planted in Columbus, Ohio. He's a his husband, father of three, and has his info about his church. First of all, glad you're here tonight. Elder, give him a hand if you would, please. Happy to hear you. In fact, Elder will be sitting for me at times. If I get to overwork, he'll be sitting in for me. Thank God for that. So, Elder, how can we contact you? Where is your church? What days do you meet?
Good evening. We are here in Columbus, Ohio, and my cell phone number I could be reached is 614-207-7616. And the church where we are convening at right now is at 3090 Courtright Road, and that's Columbus, Ohio. And we're meeting there Sunday mornings 11 and Wednesday evening 7 p.m.
Well, all are welcomed?
All are welcome. All are welcome. Absolutely.
Amen, amen.
Well, Elder Kevin, a lot to cover tonight. We had our speaker from last week. So if you would talk about that, and also young folks returning, shedding light biblically, just those general things on the church splits. Whatever you have for us, we greatly appreciate it.
Well, let me first, I guess, start by saying who I am. Again, I'm Brother Samuel Cavan. I grew up in the Church of God, and my mother was saved all my entire life. Most of my family on my mother's side was saved. And so all I've really known is the Church of God. I grew up as a church child. My older brother was the pastor of the church. When I came back as a adult after I got saved, prior to that, I was there was another brother that was a pastor. I got saved. Well, let me back up. The first time I got saved was in 2012. I was robbed in a nightclub at gunpoint, and that scared me. So that caused me to go to church the following fellowship meeting. I think it was that December of that year I went to church and got saved at that fellowship meeting out of fear. But I didn't develop a love for God, didn't hold on. So I went back out into the world. And when I went out into the world, I didn't leave with anger or animosity towards the church. I just didn't feel I wanted to be saved at that time. So I went back out into the world, was out into the world for the next 20 years.
Wow.
Lord reclaimed me, brought me back. I was a backslider. He had mercy.
Gave me a second.
Thank God.
It was on December 28, 2008. Yes. And on that day, I remember the message well, sleeping in the bed that you made, and God convicted me. Good old-fashioned conviction.
I was talking
in tears and tired and sick and tired of the way I was living and wanted to change, but couldn't do it. But God delivered me that day. And since that day, I've been saved. No more drinking, smoking, or running to nightclubs or any of those things. All those things changed in a moment.
Lord. Praise the Lord. My bless.
Put me in his kingdom. Lord. Later on, probably about the year, it was the year 2015 in June, is when I received the call to the ministry.
Yes.
Prior to that, I'd already been exhorting and doing a little speaking and going into the prisons and juvenile center and doing some things there in the church. under the pastor and under the youth leader. But then I felt the call in the June of 2015 to go into the ministry. Matter of fact, Brother Moon was the first person that I actually told that to, and he's been instrumental in mentoring me and helping me on that journey. Mm-hmm. Here recently, in the year 2020, I felt God calling me from a certain place and have me go out to start a work here in Columbus. We had a burden for our loved ones. We have many loved ones who grew up in the church, but aren't saved right now.
Very true. Yes.
Burden for the saints' children. There's a lot of the Church of God children who have been wounded, just like your podcast is highlighting, hurt, turned away from church, and we felt the burden to go after them, do whatever we can to let them know that we're thinking about them, we love them, we're praying for them. Many of these children are those that I know as brothers and sisters of mine that I grew up with all my life. I've known them since childhood. So we felt the burden for them. And then for old friends and acquaintances, those that I walked away from, so to speak, when God saved me and delivered me, I have a burden for them, for their souls. Many of them are in false religion, going to false churches. And we just felt this was the time that Columbus needed to see God's church.
Yeah.
So we went out on faith and trusting in God. And since then, we've been doing his work and reaching souls and still desiring God to help us and guide us on that venture. So certainly all are welcome, and God has been blessing.
Beautiful.
We've listened to, you know, plenty of your podcasts, and of course we was on a few of them before ourselves, but we realized that people are hurt. People really have given some church wounds, and people have been given some valid reasons for why they have lack of a better way to put it, a bad taste in their mouth when it comes to the church. But what we wanted to do is we wanted to highlight how the scriptures actually have shown the church to be going through various divisions and schisms and issues almost since the inception. Mm-hmm. This has been a church that has been attacked by the enemy since Christ built the church on his rock. And he even said it, the gates of hell shall not prevail.
Yes, well, yes.
They're not going to prevail, but that doesn't mean they're not going to stop trying to prevail. And unfortunately, in as much as we would love to see God's church as perfect as heaven, heaven is perfect. The church on the earth, we are desiring to win people into the church and bring them up to perfection.
Yes,
but man
yes.
is fallible. That's what mankind is. Man is fallible.
True. And
unfortunately, what has happened is many people have gauged the Church of God off of people and then off of whether or not they stand or fall. But that does not really tell the temperature or tell what God's church really is.
Because good point. Good point. Good point.
We can always also, for as many failures as we have, we can give you success stories. For instance, last night, my mother, she testified. She said, I got saved at the age of 28. And she said, I'm now 90 and I'm still saved. So God has kept her 63
years. Amen. That's wonderful. Praise beautiful.
You don't hear that much because the bad is highlighted. Just like we always say in the world, bad news travels faster than good. So God is in the keeping business. He will keep you if you want to be kept. So as many people who want to highlight the church's falls, the church's division, and the church's strife, there are some who are in unity with God. There's some in unity one with another. And there's some who have not turned back, who are not looking back, who have been saved since that first day and then sanctified and have a lovely spirit, no desire for the world. No desire for compromise, no desire for apostasy, no desire for hypocrite, none of that whatsoever. But what the devil wants to do is highlight every bad thing that may happen. And here's something I want to highlight. The bad thing that may happen in a congregation. See, I grew up in this one particular congregation. I've never attended church outside of my congregation that I grew up in. I never went down to Babylon per se. I never went over to this church and started going there. I've only gone to the church I grew up in. And that's pretty much with a lot of people. So it's easy to become narrow-minded. Mm-hmm. And not as a fault, but just for the fact that this is all I see, this is all I know. Aside from maybe going to a fellowship meeting here, going to a fellowship meeting there, it's easy just to see the church through the lens of the people mm-hmm. that you see coming to the various mm-hmm. congregations.
Every day.
But God's church truly is international.
Oh, yes.
Rejoicing over in other countries that I have no idea they're rejoicing. My church is international.
That's right.
Remember the account of Elijah when he was afraid that Ahab's wicked wife, Jezebel, was going to kill him. He went and hid in the cage and said, man, if she kills me, that's it. God's church is over and done with. God said, man, I got 7,000.
Amen. That's right.
Amen. He knows who 7,000 was, nor did he have to know. God does not have to tell us where his church is, who everybody is in his church. God has a people.
Amen.
And so each congregation that we know to be the church of God, for the most part, is desiring to be God's church according to the scriptures. Now, mm-hmm. do some of them fall short? Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of them maybe fall short. That's mm-hmm. what happened in the Anderson movement. It failed. Mm-hmm. It went mm-hmm. down, but it didn't take the sign off the door. Mm-hmm. But you still have other people in other places inside what's underneath the umbrella of Church of God that are just not completely and totally Church of God. But mm-hmm. that's not indicative of God's church.
Amen.
God still has a people that's living holy and free from all sin.
Amen.
God still has the people who are contending for this gospel and are willing to die for it.
Amen.
God still has gifts in the body. We're not the whole body. So there is still somebody that is laying hands and the sick is being raised up.
Mm-hmm.
Laying hands and the dead can be raised up. Because we don't happen to be right there when it happened does not mean that God does not have a people somewhere doing the works of God.
Very true. Yes.
Friends, I want to jump in here briefly. Our time is just about gone. So if you have questions for Elder Cavan, now's the time. We're going to get into our questions from last week. He's going to talk to us about other issues, splitting, young folks returning. But if you want to call in, now's the time. You can call 1-866-538-3664. You can text that in, 1-866-538-3664. If you've been wounded, hurt or wounded, tonight's the night. Call in. We have our minister here. He can answer your questions because tonight is your night to be heard. Tonight is your night to be focused on. So please, we're going to go back to Cavan at this time, please.
I want to hit four real quick points before we are off the podcast tonight, and then we can reconvene at a later time, maybe go over some other. But the first point I want to hit is, number one, that there are fallen ministers in God's church, and it's been that way since Paul prophesied it. Over in the book of Acts, in chapter 20, and if Sister Tennille could read verse 28 through 30, it tells us here.
Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock, over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them.
That's prophecy. That's not Paul just saying this is going to happen when I depart and it'll never happen again.
Lord bless.
So that's prophecy. So that's saying that when there is not a Holy Ghost minister that is able to keep things under check and keep spirits out of the congregation, that men are going to rise up and speak perverse things and draw people away, which is causes division. So
is there a question from our listeners?
Yes, there is.
We have a question for you, Pastor Cavan. Question for you.
Mr. 313 asks, do you think when you get saved out of fear that the salvation is true?
Good question. Absolutely. If you're broken in contrite, God has saved you. The purpose for getting saved does not negate that you receive salvation. It's what you do with the salvation after you get it. And I let it slip. I didn't nurture it. I didn't stay faithful to my prayer and reading the Bible. And I didn't develop a love for the gospel. I didn't develop a love for Christ. So I got saved, but I didn't hold on to it.
Good point. Good point. Thank you for that. Let's go back to your topic.
So those grievous wolves that have come in over in Matthew, don't go there. We won't read it, but it says that these grievous wolves will be in sheep clothing. So that tells us that it's going to be people who look like saints, who talk like saints, who behave like saints, but they have a bad spirit on the inside and they're devouring the sheep. So Brother Moon has been around a while. So a lot of this stuff he has seen because he's grown up also in a different time era. Well, some of the children that are growing up today that see the church, they haven't seen these type of divisions right in front of their eyes in their congregation. So it's so shocking and it's so incredibly unfathomable to them that instead of them going to God for answers, they throw the towel in and they walk away from the whole thing. Mm-hmm. I'm not making excuses and saying that it should happen, but I am saying that God warned us and prophesied that these things could happen, which is why we, as my pastor would often tell us, is why we hold on to Jesus, why we hold on to God.
Amen.
We'll fail you.
Amen.
Man will fail
Amen.
You. That's
Amen.
Just the fact of the matter. So you Amen. Put your trust in God.
Amen.
You put your trust in God that the church is God. The Amen. Church is not the pastors. The church Amen. Is not the minister that preaches Amen. The nicest and Amen. Gets the most Amen. Amens. And the church Amen. Is not Amen. The one that gave you good counsel and help. That is not the church. The Amen. Church is God's church. So he is the author and finisher of our faith. So the best thing to do is be on guard for when man fails, not if, when.
When.
Wow.
That's what you got to be on guard for. And be happy when he does it, but be prepared if he does to go on.
Amen.
Point Amen. Number two, the church splits and divisions. They've happened since the time of prophecy.
And true. That's true.
Paul addressed that over in 1 Corinthians when he told him, listen, you all are saying, that's 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 10, Sister Tennille.
Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye speak all the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment.
So he's telling them not to have divisions because he heard that they were already attaching themselves to separate ministers. One group, I'm with Paul. Another group, I'm with Peter. Another group, I'm with Apollos. And Paul addressed that congregation and said, no. Don't be divided. You all are all with Jesus.
Amen.
And speak the same thing. In other words, there's a doctrine that the church of God should all stand on. Now, some people don't know all the ins and outs of the doctrine, but they're walking in all the light that they know. So my brother often taught us disagreement doesn't have to mean division. Mm-hmm. But he said that you talk about it, you work through it. If their spirit is right, then we have something that we can work with. Nowadays, unfortunately, many people, they don't want to talk about it. They don't want to engage you and work through things to prevent division. They disagree. I'm out of here. I'll see you later. Bye. I'm going to go do my thing. You go do yours. Now, sometimes you have to leave because if apostasy or compromise is setting in and there's no desire to change that, then you have to. God makes allowance for that. But a lot of what we see today, and Brother Dale Rue, you had him on there before, he did that chart, the schism and split. If you look at a lot of those reasons, they're worthless reasons. There's no reason at all. They should be splitting for a lot of those reasons that they split. But you have man, and you're dealing with man. And a lot of times, man has not gotten rid of that carnal nature. And when that carnal nature is still around, it's my way or the highway. And so we have what we have today with a lot of the splits. However, even with the splits. God will lead you to where he wants you to be. Mm-hmm. If you're faithful, if you're true, if you're honest, if your ear is open and you want to be. Now, unfortunately, sometimes where God leads you to go may not be popular with the group or mm-hmm. popular with those that you have associated yourself with for your childhood growing up, because people won't always see what God shows you. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But we're living in a Holy Ghost dispensation.
Yeah.
And the Holy Ghost is our lead and our guide. So we mm-hmm. can't allow man to dictate where we go, what we do. Now, mm-hmm. I'm not disparaging the message and saying that don't listen to the ministry. That's not it. But the Holy Ghost sent Peter to go and talk to the Italian band of Cornelius. Mm-hmm. And after he left from there, the church approached him and said, "What in the world are you doing over here talking to these Gentiles?" Mm-hmm. And Peter said, "The Holy Ghost sent me." And that silenced them.
That's right.
The Holy Ghost didn't have to go to the church and ask them if he could send Peter over to the Gentile. He said, "Peter, you go. This is my child. This is my son. I was telling you where to go." And that's what he did. Same way with Paul. When he called Paul to the ministry, Paul said they didn't really believe he was in the ministry. But God said he sent Ananias. Because Ananias was afraid. God said, "No, he's a chosen vessel of mine. Now you go."
Brother Kev, do we have any questions coming in to our?
No, just a comment. Larry Fluellen said, "Amen, brother."
Amen. All right.
And God was showing that I'm in charge of the church. So that ties in with this point here. Some of what we're seeing, unfortunately, the Bible says that there was going to be a shaking. He said, "And once more I shake not the earth only, also I'm going to shake the heavens."
Yeah.
So sometimes the heavens have to be shaken so that God can move and work, because man will prohibit the Holy Ghost from working. That's just
brother Kevin, we got a break, our time is gone. Gonna have to have you back next week, because you got to cover your last two points. So before we go, friends, just briefly again, we're gonna have them come back next week to cover the last two points. But we had a comment last week, and I've heard it before many times, but I was going to cover this, of course. I want to piggyback. I'll say pre-piggyback. Someone mentioned about the KJV from last week, the version of it. And, of course, King James, born 1567, died 1620. The Bible was done in 1611. I've been asked that about the KJV. My question is, have you read it? Before we compare the Bible or say what's not there, have you read the Bible through first? Because if you have not read it through, how can you begin to discuss whether it's true or not? So before we criticize the KJV, NIV, read the Bible through first, and then you can begin to categorize and canonize what's going on with it. And also, we just want to invite you again next week at the same time for the podcast with Brother Kevin, continuing
yes.
those last two points.
Yes.
And friend, also tonight, if you've been hurt, been wounded, if you've backslid on God, Brother Kevin, give a 30-second altar call to someone, if you would, please. What should they do if they've been hurt, wounded, backslid? What should they do?
If somebody's been hurt or wounded, the first thing they need to do is reach out to God. You don't need to reach out to man, reach out to God. You can fall on their knees right here and right now where they are and tell God, "Lord, I'm hurt, I'm wounded. I don't want to be an atheist. Amen. I don't want to hate the church. I don't want to hate you, but I'm hurting and I need help and I want help." You got to want help to receive
True.
Help.
True.
If they say they want help, God will move heaven and earth to help one hurting soul.
Thank
Amen.
God.
Thank everything
God.
That he can Thank to help God. One hurting soul. And if they're broken, contract Amen. Is sincere, instantaneous, not a process, not a week, not 2-3 days, instantaneously, God, the loving Savior, because he was hurt. He said he was bruised for us. He said he was wounded for us. So
right.
we have
Amen.
A wounded Savior who can empathize with us. And he wants to. It's not that he can't. He wants to.
Yes.
So I would say for them to go straight to God. Go right to him.
There's someone listening tonight who's been hurting, I can sense you out there. I can sense that. That altar call was for you. We don't know who you are, but I know you're there. We love you. We want to see reconciled, forgiven, and healed in this week. Any questions from our director?
No, that's all for now.
All right, we'll see you next week. Thank you for calling in. Thank you for your questions. May the Lord bless you.
Amen.